Let us worship the Lord in the singing of the Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7. Psalm 46, first version, 1 to 7. God is our refuge and our strength, in straits of present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7. We'll stand as we worship. Turning in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, let us hear the word of God this morning. 1 Peter 5, and beginning to read at the opening verse. This is what God says. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. And so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word to all our hearts. Let us pray. Let us bow our heads. Still our hearts in God's presence this morning. Gracious and loving and eternal Father, we approach thy throne of grace this morning through the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand upon that ground of redemption, and we thank thee, O God, that we stand upon the finished work that Christ hath accomplished for us at the place called Calvary. And we rejoice today that Calvary covers it all. The past with its sin and shame, Jesus led them there, and Calvary covers it all. And Father, we pray that thou wilt cover this service, the preacher and the hearers, under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that all that is said and done in this service will bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. Hide us behind the cross. Let none be seen save Jesus only. And we pray that today, men and women who will hear thy word will come to Christ. We pray for that saving faith to be granted to those who are yet out of Christ. And Lord, we pray for thy people that we might be strengthened and helped and encouraged and blessed and challenged and corrected, instructed in righteousness. The word of God is profitable for all these things. And so we pray that today we might receive with meekness the engrafted word. Strengthen and sustain us. Lead us out after thee, we pray. Deliver us, Lord, from slackness or coldness or folly. Deliver us, O God, from carelessness, lack of love for thee, thinking upon the world instead of thinking on Christ. O Lord, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and we're to think on these things. And we pray that we'll think on these things this morning and be encouraged and blessed. And as we go, that we will be blessed in our souls as never before. Remember, O God, those who have sickness today, those who are feeling depressed, Lord, lift their drooping spirits. Those, O God, who have been downcast through all of these times that we're living in, Lord, we pray that you'll encourage their hearts. We pray for those who have physical sickness, that thou will help them, that thou will be with them, and Lord, that thou will touch them. Those who are confined to nursing care, residential care, their own homes, or hospitalized, that thou will be with them, thou will bless them. Maybe those in our midst too have issues, Lord, we pray that thou wilt undertake for them. And we pray that thou wilt speak today. And we pray for those who have gone careless in their attendance at the means of grace. And we know this pandemic has had that effect upon us and upon many. And we pray that you'll take away that carelessness. And we pray that, Lord, you'll bring thy people again to the house of the Lord. We commend this matter to thee. It's a burden upon our hearts even today. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember our land in all its need. Let us know the darkness that envelops us. We thank you for those, even in the United States of America, who are prepared to stand up for the unborn. We thank you, God, for that decision in the Supreme Court in the United States. We thank you for those, O God, who stand up for thy word. And the enemies, Lord, are mad. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt give us in our nation people who will stand up. We thank you for those who do. But Lord, in the places of legislation, that Lord, they may, O God, reverse decisions they have made against the unborn, and decisions that have been made against thy word. O God, we pray that thou wilt answer prayer, even this day, for our nation, for our land, for our people, for the peoples of the world, for the people of Ukraine today, in that war-torn region. We pray that thou wilt answer prayer for other war-torn regions of the world. And Lord, that thou wilt intervene, that thou wilt come, and that thou wilt draw near to the people of God there. Hear us now, we pray, and do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're turning to a hymn, Rejoice in the Lord, and let his mercy cheer. He sunders the bands that enthrall. Redeemed by his blood, why should we ever fear? Since Jesus is our all in all. We'll stand after the introduction. It's 535 in the hymn book and on the screen as well. Boys and girls, we're thinking about the story of Nehemiah again, and we've been looking at Nehemiah, of course, who had a burden for Jerusalem and the city and the situation that was there. The walls were broken down and the gates were burned with fire. But when you move into the book of Nehemiah, you discover that there were those there who had a plan, and Nehemiah was one of them. He had a plan for the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And altogether, boys and girls, if you look through chapter 3 of Nehemiah, you'll discover there were 42 groups of people. 42 groups of people who were willing to do this gigantic task of building the walls of Jerusalem. You can see them here, and they're beginning to get prepared for that great task. There were some priests and goldsmiths and merchants and servants, all types of people from all sorts of backgrounds who were willing to do this work. You see, boys and girls, no matter what your talent is or your talents are, you have a work to do for the Lord. You have a work, you have a service that you can be involved in for the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you are. And these people were involved in a very vital task. And of course, Nehemiah was God's man. He was God's servant. He was the leader of the people. And he encouraged them to do this work. He encouraged them. He mentions, for example, a man called Barak, who worked very hard. And you find him mentioned in Nehemiah 3, verse 20. He worked very hard, and the people of Tekoa, who mended two sections of the wall, even though their leaders didn't want them to be involved in the work. And so there were people here who, despite all that was going on around them, they were willing to do the work of God. Are you willing? If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're willing to do something for the Lord where you are, where God has placed you in your life. And so these people, 42 groups of people, were willing to do this work for the Lord. But of course, there were those who despised them. And here we have this man, we mentioned his name before, Sanballat. And he ridiculed the Jews in front of his friends and the army of Samaria. You say, what do these feeble Jews, how are they going to do this work? They're feeble, they're weak. It can never be done. And of course, those who are against the gospel, those who are against God's word, those who are against those of us who are saved, will mock us. The Bible says there are mockers. There are those who mock the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And others, they said, can they finish this wall in a day? How can they use these burned stones and put them up again in the walls of Jerusalem? And there was another man, not only Sanballat, but a man called Tobiah. He was a governor, and he mocked this whole project. He said, if a little fox come along and climb up and go against this wall, it will fall down. And so they were being despised. What did Nehemiah do? He prayed. He prayed to the God of heaven. And you will notice that right throughout the book of Nehemiah, boys and girls, if you read that book sometime, you'll find that Nehemiah was a man of prayer. He prayed. He didn't pray long prayers. He just prayed very simple and very short prayers, but very sincere prayers. And he called upon God. So, boys and girls, you may not be able to pray a very long prayer, but you can pray a very simple prayer and just ask God to hear you, as Nehemiah did. And he asked the Lord to hear him. And of course, the Lord's work was going on. Despite all the despising and the mocking of the enemies, Nehemiah's prayers were being answered. And as a result, the builders, all of these 42 groups of people, all of these individuals involved, they were building the wall of Jerusalem. And it reached half its height. And the surrounding wall was about 2.5 miles. So it was a very long wall. And boys and girls, they were at the work. They weren't slack. They weren't lazy. They were doing the work of God. And so this morning, God has called all of us, boys and girls and men and women, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to be workers in his vineyard, to build the walls of his truth and get his word out to men and women and boys and girls. And that's what the Holiday Bible Club will be doing
the week after next. And so, boys and girls, we want you to come to that and invite your friends to come and bring boys and girls under the sound of the word of the Lord. Now, we're going to sing a little chorus, boys and girls, deep and wide. We'll sing it through twice, and then, of course, when we come to the second one, we don't sing the words deep and wide. We just do the actions when we sing it the second time. So remember that when we come to it. Let's go through it twice this morning. There at the wrong time, but you did very well. Thank you very much for that. We do welcome you in the Lord's name this morning to the Lord's house, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name this morning. Could I remind you of our time around the Lord's table when you remember the Lord's death? You can remain where you are or come downstairs, whatever you feel comfortable with for that service. For all who know and love the Saviour are welcome to join with us around the Lord's table after the conclusion of our morning service this morning. There are baskets at the door for your offerings. Remember that if you were here weren't here on Tuesday night and want to contribute towards Mr. Colin Maxwell's support as he labours in the south of Ireland, then you can put it in and mark it for him, and it will go towards his work. There are some cards with his photograph on it, and you can support him if you wish by sending off the relevant portion of that card. Do remember that, please, today. Also, there are some missionary news and the Let the Bible Speak magazines. Those are available. If you didn't pick them up as yet last Lord's Day, or you weren't out, do please pick them up as you leave today. Could I remind you, tonight is the commencement of a series of drive-in services in the church car park, and do remember that. There's little invites there. Do come along, invite others to come. It's an opportunity maybe to get people who wouldn't be happy to come into church, but they'll come into the car park, sit in their car, and join in the service. There'll be some community singing by Brother James at 6:50, and then the service at 7. Susan and Joe will minister in song. Brother Bill will testify, and I will bring the Lord's message tonight. Do invite others and pray much for the service and these services right through to the end of July on the Sunday evenings in the church car park. Tuesday at 8 p.m. is our prayer meeting and Bible study. Continue to focus upon these outreaches, the drive-in and also the Holiday Bible Club that's coming up. And the connection with that is the 4th to the 8th of July. It's morning from 10:45 approximately to 12 noon. Sir Robert McConnell is the speaker. I know that a number of children have already been registered through the online registration, but if our own people, I know they're notoriously late at doing these things, but please, if you can, do it, because it lets us know and lets Mark and Joanna know how many people roughly will come. Of course, children will not be turned away if they come on the day without having registered, but it's a help if you can do it that way. So go on to the link, please, and get the registration done, and encourage others maybe around about you, children, to come along also during that week each day. And if you can help in any way also, please do come along, offer your help, and that would be appreciated very much as well, and pray most of all for it, that God will bless it. This is we haven't had any for 2 years, and so we're getting back to this again, and we trust the Lord will bless it again as we seek to reach out to children in the district and wider as well. Next Lord's Day, the 3rd of July, morning prayer meeting at 11, family worship 11:30, and the drive-in services in the church car park continue at 7. I will be here in the morning. Dr. Greenfield will be leading the service in the drive-in and singing, and I will be preaching at both the services. The building fund offerings are next Lord's Day as well. Do plan to be along with us if you're not on holiday. Remember all who are sick at this time too, and going through treatments, recovering from illnesses, your prayers are deeply appreciated by all concerned. And the installation of Reverend Stephen McRae as minister of our Ballinahenstry Presbyterian Church will be held on Friday the 8th of July. The service itself is being held in our Lisburn church. That's in the Lisburn church, but he has been installed as minister of Ballinahench, 8th of July at 8 p.m. And all are welcome. We haven't had a church outing for, again, a number of years. But this year we've decided to resume with a church outing on Saturday the 30th of July, leaving the church at 9, returning at 5. We're sort of cutting down the length of it in that sense. We're planning to go to Sloane House up at Loch Gall for tea and coffee, and then a tour of the museum there, back into Lurgan for shopping for a period, and then to Brownlow House for the meal around the lunchtime period. And then, of course, there's a lot to see in Brownlow House. There'll be a presentation there of the historical part of that, and it's very, very interesting. So do remember that, please, if you can get your name down quickly. That would be very appreciated. Senior citizens go free. We will have amounts for charges for others who want to go along. We'll have that as soon as we can. But senior citizens go free, of course, for the day. And we trust you will if you're able. I know some people still be uncomfortable with this, but if you're able to join us, then that would be greatly appreciated, and it would be a day out, and we trust to be a blessing, as has been to so many in the past. Now we're going to join the singing of another hymn before we come to God's Word, 556, and it's on the screen and in your hymn book as well, whichever you prefer. We never need be vanquished, we never need give in, though waging war with Satan, compassed round by sin. Temptations will beset us, allurements oft deceive. In the name of Jesus, we must prevail. And we'll stand again after the introduction and sing together. Can I just mention that there is a list there out in the hall for the commemoration Bibles. Children would have received those in their prizes last week from the Sunday school, but people are interested in this and some have been asking, and so if you want to get one or a number of these, then do please put your name down and an order can be put in for that. If you can do that as soon as possible, again, that would be appreciated, because we'd like to get the order in as quickly as we can. So if you see the list there, please get your name down for that as well if you're interested. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning to the Bible reading that we had earlier in our service. 1 Peter chapter 5, especially verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The subject today is standing in the watchtower. Standing in the watchtower. How often we repeat the words that we are no match for the devil. And how true this is. In our own strength and by our own efforts, men and women, we will not prevail against the evil one. Such is his cunning, craft, and power. You see, the Lord said to Peter in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And how true this is, and how real it is for so many of God's children. And maybe it's real for you at this very present time in your life's experience, personally, in your family life, generally for you in your situation and circumstances of life. You feel yourself to be under attack on every hand and on every side from Satan and the powers of darkness. Men and women, people today, Satan has a strategy, and part of it is to hit and to hurt God's people. He will hit you betimes by discouragement, with distressing thoughts, even defiling thoughts, to the point of despair, so that you will find yourself in the depths of depression, at wit's end corner, not knowing what end of you is up, where to turn, or where to go. Maybe you can identify with all of these things that I've been saying right now. And you're listening to the preacher now, and you feel so much that the devil has you in his sights, and he's targeting you. And you feel so helpless and so isolated and alone. How we need to be protected from all the assaults of the evil one against us. Going back to what the Lord said to Peter in Luke 22:32, he said this, But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And we are reminded in Hebrews 7:25, that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We are protected by the prayers of our great intercessor. And we are protected too by the putting on of the whole armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11 says, Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And their various pieces of armor are mentioned in subsequent verses in that chapter. So that each one of us and each part of us is adequately protected
as the devil launches his many offenses against us. See verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Not just part of the armor of God, but the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And then the various pieces of the armor are mentioned. You see, men and women, we are in a constant battle. There is no let up. And we cannot afford to relax or to be off our guard for a single moment. We must always be alert and awake to the threat that the devil poses for each one of us. If we do, then thank God we can be overcomers. And we can live in victory over Satan in our lives. We can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Peter in his first epistle, and in this chapter 5, puts the Lord's people on high alert. And that's where we need always to be. We need to be in the watchtower. We need to be standing on watch. And there are words of needed instruction here for us in this passage of God's Word this morning. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 9. Three things in particular I want to highlight this morning to you in the concluding moments of the service. As we think about the subject, standing in the watchtower. First of all, the descriptions we recognize here. Verse 8. You will see here the descriptions that are given to us of Satan, the evil one, who opposes us. Who is our opponent continually as we go on in our Christian experience from day to day. The word or term Satan means adversary. Your adversary, the devil. The word devil means the accuser or the slanderer. And of course, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser of the saints of God. The recipients of this letter from Peter, 1 Peter, had already experienced the attacks of the slanderer. Go back to chapter 4, 1 Peter 4, verses 4 and 14. He says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. And so they'd experienced those who spoke evil of them. And then again in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You see, they had been reproached for the name of Christ. And so these people to whom Peter wrote had been going through trials, had been facing the devil's attacks, just as we are facing them today. And then, of course, they would meet the lion. The Bible tells us in our text, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's the lion. And we meet the devil as a lion in our fiery trial. The devil, of course, comes in various guises. And we need to be able to identify him because he is a foe, not a friend. He's not going to help us. He's ever seeking to hinder us. He's not going to bring healing to us. He will only bring hurt to us. And the Bible gives us these descriptions here so that we can clearly and quickly see who he is and guard against his attacks. First of all, I want you to notice he's a dangerous enemy. He's a dangerous enemy. You know, often I admire people who can repair and build things. I must say, outside of my league, I'm not into repairing or building things. I'm not into any kind of DIY other than cutting the grass and keeping it tidy and things like that. DIY is not my forte, I must admit this morning. But I've often watched, for example, the electrician install a complete control panel.
And you may be amazed how calmly they work on those lines. A whole host of them. And all of the power that's in them. How do they do it? Well, they respect the power that is there. And they can handle it. And Satan is a dangerous enemy. Now we have to have, and in this sense, a certain respect, because he has power. He doesn't have all power, but he has great power. He has greater power than we have in and of ourselves. And Satan is a dangerous enemy. He is a serpent who can bite us when least we expect it. He is described as the destroyer in Revelation 12 and verse 11. Abaddon and Apollyon, which both mean destruction. He's the accuser. Zechariah 3 verses 1 to 5. Revelation 12, 9 to 11. He has great power. He has great intelligence. And he has a host of demons who assist him in his attacks against God's people. The Bible talks about the wiles of the devil in Ephesians 6. About the principalities and the powers. He is a formidable enemy. We must never joke about Satan. We must never underestimate his ability to harm us. As individuals, or to harm our family. Or to harm the work of God. He has done it in the past, and no doubt, sadly, he will do it in the future. We see him here as the roaring lion. And when the lion roars, it causes fear to those who are in the vicinity. I always remember in a previous congregation, we took them to the park up used to be around Ballymulley direction, and all the wildlife running around there, including lions, and of course people there in the minibus, and then the lion roars, and all those women in the minibus, oh dear, I think they were roaring as well, because they were afraid. But the lion couldn't get anywhere near them, of course, but the roar of the lion, he's a roaring lion. But he's also a roaming lion, because he walketh about. You ever see those wildlife programs and the lion walking about? Roaming about? You don't want to be in that situation anywhere near the roaming lion or the roaring lion either. He's waiting his moment to pounce upon the unsuspecting prey. You remember what the Lord said in the book of Job, and he spoke to Satan, and he said, "Whence comest thou?" He said, "From walking up and to and fro on the earth, and walking up and down in it." And you have that in Job chapters 1 and 2. It's mentioned. So the devil is walking about. He's roaming in this world. He's roaming. Satan going to and fro in this earth, walking up and down in it. He's not only the roaring lion, but he's the roaming lion. But then he's the ravening lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. And the lion is lurking and looking to devour their prey. That's the intent of the lion. The devil, the roaring lion, is ever seeking to devour the unwary. And so it's vitally important that we're constantly in the watchtower. Are you in the watchtower today, Christian? We cannot relax. We cannot let down our guard. For this fierce enemy is out for our destruction. But he's not only a destructive enemy, he's a devious enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 we read, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And as such, many can be deceived and unable to identify him as to who he truly is. And so they're overcome by him. He appears to be so pleasant. His words are honeyed words. So sweet. His ways seem to be so good. But it's all
a deception. And the devil can creep into our lives. And he can creep into the church, even Bible-believing churches. And he can creep into families. And he can creep into your situation, whatever that situation may be this morning. Think of how Satan entered into Judas, and he was among the disciples. Now, he wasn't truly a child of God, let me make that clear. But he was among the disciples, and Satan was there, among the 12, right close up to Jesus. That's where the devil was. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, lest Satan get an advantage of us. You see, that's the purpose, that's the intent of the devil, to get an inroad, to get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. And many are the devices of Satan, and he will use those to get an advantage of us. May your eyes be open this morning, and each day, and each moment, to see the devil for who he really is. To see his devices for what they really are. You remember the devil came to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4, you can read it for yourself. And we're not going to turn to it this morning. But how watchful the Lord was. How watchful he was. And what an example that is to all of us. He was on his guard. He was in the watchtower. And later on he said to the disciples there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26 verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so he's a destructive enemy, and he's a devious or a deceptive enemy. But he's a dark enemy. It's the third thing. He's the prince of darkness. And he's ever lurking in the darkness, ready to do us harm in the shadows, waiting to pounce on us and to cause us pain. He's working under the cover of darkness to bring us down, to defeat us at any moment. And the Word of God, and again we refer to it, Ephesians 6:12. The principalities and powers, listen this morning, listen. The rulers of the darkness of this world. Colossians 1:13, the power of darkness. And how, as Christians, we ought to ever live in the light and walk in the light. And the Lord teaches us that in 1 John chapter 1. In order that that light might shine brightly before us, so that we can see the dark enemy where he's hiding and be on our guard against any attack that he would instigate against us. But he's not only a dark enemy, he's a difficult enemy. He's a difficult enemy. At times difficult to identify, difficult to defeat as he comes again and again against us. Not easy to drive back. And you remember in the book of Jude that the scripture reminds us about Michael the archangel. He didn't tackle the devil himself. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. That's what he said. And none of us can say this morning to the get out, the devil. Tell the devil to get out. We have to use the Lord's name. The Lord rebuke thee. He's a difficult enemy. He's a difficult enemy. So there are the descriptions here. But then I want you to see the directive that we must respond to. Look at verse 8 of 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be vigilant. Because he is such a subtle foe, we must be sober and vigilant. First of all, be sober. We must have our minds under control. That's the meaning. When it comes to our conflict with Satan, a part of this soberness includes not blaming everything on the devil. You see, there are some people who blame the devil for their headaches and their flat tires and their high rent, etc., etc. Well, while it is true that the devil can inflict sickness and pain upon us, of course, the book of Job reveals that, but by divine permission, of course. We have no biblical authority
for casting out demons of headache or demons of backache. One lady phoned a preacher on a long distance call to inform him that Satan had caused her to shrink 7.5 inches. Now you may laugh at that. And while we understand that the devil has many wiles and powers, yet we must understand this morning also that we must get our information about the devil from the Word of God and not from our own interpretation of experience or some airy-fairy thing that we've heard, even some preachers say about the devil, that is not from the Bible. Be sober. Be sober. And then the next thing is be vigilant. Be always on guard. We must recognize him. He's a great pretender. And the Bible speaks about this. He's the father of lies. And the strategy is, according to 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, to counterfeit whatever God does. So whatever God does, the devil will seek to counterfeit. According to the parables of the tares, whatever God plants, whenever God plants a true Christian, Satan seeks to plant a counterfeit. And we have that mentioned in Matthew 13:24-30 and 36-43. He would deceive us were it not for the Word of God and for the Spirit of God. He is out to deceive. 1 John 2:18-27. And the better we know God's Word, the keener our spiritual eyes will be and our spiritual senses will be to detect Satan and his work. We must be able to try the spirits to see whether there be of God, whether they be true or false. 1 John 4:1-6. And so, we've noted the descriptions, and we've noted here also the directions, or the directives. But then I want to come finally this morning to the decisiveness that is required. Look at verse 9 of our text. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resist. It means to withstand, to strive against, to be firm against. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that means we take our stand on the Word of God and we refuse to be moved. Ephesians 6:10-13. And here we're instructed to stand, to withstand, and to stand. Unless we stand, we cannot withstand. And that's the truth of the matter. Our weapons are the Word of God and prayer. Because when you look at that portion in Ephesians 6 and look at it carefully, you will see there are many defensive parts of the armor. But there is also the offensive parts. And of course there's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And there's prayer in verse 18 of that passage. And so we must resist the devil by the Word of God and prayer. We must resist him in faith. That is our faith in God. And just as David took his stand against Goliath and trusted in the name of Jehovah, the God of heaven, so we take our stand against Satan in the victorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me give a word of caution here. Never discuss things with Satan or his associates. No dialogue with Satan. You've heard the ecumenist saying about dialogue. And you've maybe seen this week that a Presbyterian minister has gone even into the novena up there at Clonard and participated. A Presbyterian minister has participated in dialogue at the novena under the pretense that he is putting the Protestant point of view. Who is he kidding? He's not kidding me. My friend, or what Protestant point of view is he putting, if any? that they asked that question. No dialogue with Rome. No dialogue with the devil. Eve made that mistake, and we all know the sad consequences in Genesis 3. Also, never try to fight Satan in your own way. Resist him the way Jesus did, Matthew 4:1-11. Never get the idea that you're the only one going through these battles. Never get that idea. You know, there are people who have this idea of victimhood. I am the victim. I am always the victim. But friend, the Bible tells us here in our text about your brethren that are in the world. So all brethren and sisters are suffering these things. All are facing the same trials in one way or another. We must pray one for another, encourage each other in the Lord. We must remember that our personal victories will help others just as their victories will help us. Had Peter obeyed these three instructions the night that Jesus was arrested, he would not have gone to sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. He would not have attacked Malchus the servant. Neither would he have denied his Lord. He did not take the Lord seriously. In fact, he argued with him. Nor did he recognize Satan when the adversary inflated his eyes with pride and told him, as he did, and not to have the notion of watching and praying. He incited them then to use the sword against the servant Malchus. Had Peter listened to the Lord and resisted the enemy, he would have escaped all of these failures. You see, sometimes we just don't listen. And now you, as a parent, have said that to your children. And maybe it's quite true. But sometimes we need to look at ourselves and we don't listen either. Look again at James 4:7 as we draw to a conclusion this morning. And see here that James and Peter give us the same formula for success. In James 4:7, the first part of the verse says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Before we can stand before Satan, we must bow before God. Let me repeat that. Before we can stand before Satan, we must bow before God. We must submit to God. Have you got a submissive spirit this morning? Are you saying, oh, I'm happy-go-lucky. I just do my own thing. And I just shrug my shoulders. I'm just a free spirit that way. Well, friend, you need the Holy Spirit. Let me be quite candid about it. We don't need a free spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us. We need the Lord to guide us. And to do what God wants us to do. Peter resisted the Lord and he ended up submitting to Satan. May it not be so with us. Be alert this morning. Be awake. Be in the watchtower, Christian. Be on your guard for the approach and attack of the archenemy, the devil, Satan, the adversary, the roaring lion. May the Lord be pleased to give us the victory. And that victory is ours through Calvary. Through the blood of the Lamb. If you're not saved this morning, let me tell you, Satan has you in his grasp. But there's a greater than Satan and sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God he can break the stranglehold of Satan in your life, set you free and bring you to Christ today. Will you come? Long have you listened, long have you lingered, long have you waited. But will you come today? Come and welcome to Jesus. Let us pray. Father, bless thy word to every heart. We pray that it may be a word that will reach every heart this day for the glory of thy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to the hymn, and again it's on the screen and in the hymn book 557. When you feel weakest, danger surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound. Nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad. All is despairing, even time. staff. They'll stand after the introduction singing, and then we'll have the benediction, and then I'll go to the door before we have our communion service this morning. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all today, tonight, and tomorrow, until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, and then with all her saved forevermore. Amen.